Dave Jensen, I got a fever.
What is the, what's the prescription? What do you need?
The only cure is moving my body, Dave. It's a day, I feel like dancing. I feel like dancing tonight.
Oh, well, I wish you would have told me.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me ahead of time?
You know, it just happened. Booker T, MGs.
Jeez, Steele, I'm wearing like a suit here. I got to change.
Okay. Well, Dave, don't worry. Because we brought in a special guest, and our guest tonight is the, in my life, the number one expert on ecstatic dance, Alice Astorita. Welcome to the show, Alice.
Thank you, Steele. Thank you for having me. You can't see me, but I am dancing in my seat.
Ooh.
So we have a lot of questions about ecstatic dance. The first one being, what is ecstatic dance?
Well, in short, it's dancing, moving your body.
Yes.
However you feel inspired.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like probably the greatest thing ever. And ecstatic means that you should be feeling good about doing it, I guess. I feel like it's like the most positive thing that I could imagine about having a body.
I couldn't agree more.
That was a really good sentence, huh? Can you tell it was grad school?
That was like a poem. You just found a poem in your speech. It was beautiful.
Haltingly, yes.
But is this something that you participate in? Do you go to like a, you know, like a room with padded walls and just get going?
No. In fact, I dance on the beach.
That's the other great reason, Dave.
I'm telling you, that's the only way. If you're truly ecstatic.
what is the music source? Is there a boombox on your shoulder, headphones?
It's very
a drum circle?
I think it could be any of those things.
Okay.
Basically, the answer to any of your questions is probably going to be yes.
Dave, can you tell Alice lives in Southern California? That I can tell just from the general feeling, the way she's been responding, she's open to the world. She's like, yeah, why not?
I'm telling you, yeah.
Love your life. Go to the
beach.
You
sound happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound happy, which I think only people from California actually feel that.
Dave, earlier this month, I went out to San Diego. I was in La Jolla, and Alice popped up and said, hey, I live here. And I thought, no way. And so we met up. We went to Galaxy Taco.
Mm, yeah.
And it had been, what, 5-6 years at least, Alice, since we'd seen each other?
Yeah, at least. Yeah, I moved away from Madison in 2014, and I probably hadn't run into you in at least 2 or 3 years prior. So. Yeah.
Just a quick question regarding Galaxy Taco. Uh-huh. Were the tacos out of this world still?
Oh, that's the most dad question you've ever asked, Dave. They were. We had a whole bunch of food, Alice and I did. I don't know, what was your highlight, Alice? What was the best thing on the menu?
I felt like we ordered everything vegetarian that was offered. That ended up being way too much for us.
It was?
The blue corn tortilla.
That was surprisingly good.
Right. I think it was a quesadilla with sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm. And they had like smoked greens of some kind. I don't know how they did it, but I remember thinking that was delicious.
Mm. Yeah, we ate well.
It was like chefy tacos, Dave. They were tremendous. There were these spicy potato tacos, and they looked okay on the menu, but in actuality, it was one of the best tacos I'd ever had.
But I have some follow-up questions regarding Madison and California, because obviously if you leave Wisconsin, you move to California, your life's going to get significantly better. Give me a top three ways in which your life got better.
I had the sun in my life on a regular basis.
Oh, so good.
Not just as a thing to look at, but a thing to feel on your skin. That's
I have to say, I had hanging on my wall at my time in Madison, the average temperature in San Diego, which is 76 degrees. And this was my motivator to finish my dissertation and get out of there.
That seems like a torment, like kind of a both a motivator and like self-flagellation a little bit, Alice, I'll say.
Yeah, well, that's the entire PhD
grad
process
school. Yeah,
in a nutshell.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yes, only too well.
So that's one. Let's see how my life got better. Number two. Yeah, I have a lot more dance in my life, even more than I had in medicine.
Sun, dance, two excellent things.
Sun, dance, and family. I live just 7 miles from my mom, which is awesome.
That's great.
Man, that sounds so much better than Madison, Steele.
Come on, Dave. I'm trying. I'm doing my best here. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Wait, Dave, where are you located?
I live in Arizona, so I've got son, and I've got 100 kids, so we do quite a bit of dancing.
Oh, and I'm sure.
I've got 100 kids, so I got family covered pretty well. But yeah, I love the sun. That's why I live in Arizona.
What city do you live in?
It's a little town called Prescott Valley. It's really nice, actually. It's beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, it's not far from Sedona, Alice. There was really good. We went and visited him over the Christmas, and there was great energy. The vortex were so close.
I was
close.
About to say, ecstatic dance and Sedona go hand in hand. So when you move this direction, we can make a pilgrimage.
I'll be ready. Yeah, I'm always ready.
When we start off with Booker T and the MGs, that was a song I think that made both of our shortlists for this theme.
Yeah, you know, I had the pleasure of seeing him live.
Really?
Yes, at the San Diego Blues Fest. I don't remember exactly, but the story is that he actually recorded that song when he was extremely young, like maybe 20.
Wow.
Around 20. And so when I was looking up on stage, I was expecting to see an old blues man, you know, but he's not.
He's still a kid, huh?
A kid. Yeah. He's older than we are.
Can you imagine peaking at 20 and producing the greatest thing you've ever made in your life at 20 and then just performing it for the next 40 years?
Well, you know, what's funny is that he brought up on stage his son. Yeah. So it was cool.
That is cool. Yeah. All right. So the theme for tonight's episode of Theme Songs is... Because we have Alice, the connoisseur of dance, the art of bodily expression, we are playing irresistible dance music. Songs that you just hear and you cannot help but dance, where your body calls out. It's just involuntary movements. So Dave's will be sort of like spasmodic jerking. That's the kind of involuntary movements that we usually associate with Dave. Alice's maybe a bit more like refined and graceful, and mine are probably just going to be like... 60s, 70s soul, more or less. So that's kind of what you're going to expect for tonight. But I think it's going to be a good set of flavors for the evening.
Guys, this may surprise you. I'm going to start you off with like a real dance number.
Whoa.
It introduces somewhat of a moral quandary. Like, is it okay to really enjoy this man's music? And I think it is. It's a great song. And I want to dance. So yeah.
What did he do?
Well, Dave, tell us what you're going to play and who is by, and I think that will answer itself, Alice.
Okay. Hit me.
This is a beautiful song, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, by the king of pop, Michael Jackson.
Ah, got it.
You know, I was wondering, you know, how
it's really uncomfortable.
The force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like... It makes me feel like... Woo! Woo!
Guys are ecstatic dancers.
Alice, that's a little known secret about us. We are definitely ecstatic dancers.
Yeah.
Have been since we first met, Dave and I. That's
for sure.
Us together.
It's kind of funny. See, my video isn't working, so I get to see them. moving around, but they can't see me.
The point of the show, Alice.
Yeah, it's to watch me and Steele awkwardly dance just from the neck up. Uh-huh. But that song's over 6 minutes long.
Whoa.
They just couldn't stop it.
Until they got enough.
They literally could not stop it. And even when they felt like they had enough, they had to keep it going because it's so good.
Yeah, what's your relationship to Michael Jackson in terms of how you listen to the music now, Alice?
I don't know. I have not actually contemplated that too much about Michael Jackson. Yeah, I can't really say.
That's the key to still being able to enjoy that song is just to not consider that man.
Yeah.
I don't know. The one thing though that's interesting about that song, I don't think until this evening I've really listened to the words of the intro before.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was deeply uncomfortable when he's like whispering. And you're like, oh man, he's wrestling with some. He's wrestling with the wrong demons. But at least he's being honest about it.
Oh, Michael.
I think so. There's a kid in our neighborhood, really nice kid, friend of Cedar, a couple years older, and he's like a huge Michael Jackson fan. But we went out to the zoo the other day, and he wasn't going to go with us unless he could pick the music. And I let him pick the music, and he just said Michael Jackson. So we listened to only Michael Jackson on the drive to the zoo and back. And it had been a long time because I think I'm like, yeah, Michael Jackson's a great musician, but I don't actively listen to his music anymore because of those feelings of kind of ambivalence. But in only listening to Michael Jackson for the whole drive out and back, I was like, he really is the king of pop. He was so talented. So talented. And he makes you dance.
Ecstatically.
And just to clarify, awkward dancing is ecstatic dancing.
If you're smiling, yeah. If you're like at knife point, it's not so ecstatic. All right. I'll go next. And the song, I don't know. I had so many choices because there's so many songs that move, but I think I'm going to go with a little bit of an audible, and I'm going to play maybe one of my favorite dance songs. This is Sly and the Family Stone, Everyday People. I can't feel anything but like overwhelming joy when I hear that song. I just feel so happy every time I hear it. It fills me up.
I really had to hold back from singing along.
I mean, a little bit to me too. Exactly.
Those vocals are like weapons. When he comes in like, we got to live. It's just like straight to your heart. Like, whoa.
So I have a question. What's the common genetic element? If a song is irresistibly danceable, is there something that many of these songs either share or tend to share?
Well, Steele, I'm glad you asked because I was thinking about that. I think it's a building, like a climax that keeps moving a little bit out of reach, and so you're just like it keeps re-engaging you.
You have to pursue it. You have to pursue it, right?
Until it hits the everyday people, and then it comes back down and then builds again. I don't know. That's what I think makes it irresistible, because you're always like anticipating it.
I like that. Dave, you got a theory?
Hey, yeah, I think there's just a drive to it. There's just something in the music that's just driving you to move. I don't know. It's out there.
I was thinking, and I think something about that drive, like for me, I think it's probably the most essential instrument is probably the bass or the bass line.
Mm.
Like you think about the rhythm section and the drums are important as like establishing the or whatever. But those songs that really get you, for me, they often have like a buoyant bass line or bass line that's like it's suggesting the movements or the thumps of the body. And I can't think of a song that's irresistible dancey to me that doesn't have something like a memorable bass line. And I don't know if that's – going to be borne out by all of our choices, but that was my initial theory.
I like the phrase buoyant baseline.
That should be a t-shirt company.
Another poem, and just in how you speak, Steele.
Been in school long enough, Dave.
I think just also inherently in music, there's just something in music and singing that makes you want to move. Mm. If I just turn music on, my son, he just starts dancing. Even if it's just like a really gentle song, he just wants to start moving and swaying.
Mm. Yeah.
It activates your blood. Okay, Alice, we need an irresistible dance song from you. We're saving you as the expert here.
And have I got one for you.
All right.
So I first heard this song when my former roommate in Madison sent me a clip of Australia's Got Talent. And it was
such a good show.
Oh, gosh. I know, right? Anyway, it was one of these long intros with some sad story about someone who had broken like all of his bones and then came back. And so he goes out on stage and it's that, you know, that same classic setup where you're not quite sure if he's going to stink or not.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
then
the suspense.
He just busts it out and he rocks it and it's amazing. And so the song is called Shooting Stars by Bag Raiders.
Oh, yeah. I'm starting to like almost lose my breath and get a little nervous as that pitch keeps going up like step each time. Like, how does it resolve, Alice? Because I faded it out. I don't know what happens. Do we just explode?
It does, actually. It goes, pew!
Oh, jeez.
It's amazing. The beat like literally drops.
Yeah, that was like a perfect encapsulation of your theory, Alice, of like there's something that's just compelling us. Like, yeah, exactly. You just like it's driving you forward. That's a I can get behind that. Yeah.
I would encourage your listeners to listen to the full song. I was thinking about not selecting that one because it takes so long to build. It's probably already a minute, right?
Yeah, I'll fade it back in and let's see where we're at. Yeah, we're like a minute 41. Wow. So that's worth it though. That's a slow burn.
There's the Sarah Live sketch where it's like a DJ on the stage and the music's just building and he has this huge button that's like for the beat to drop and it keeps teasing the audience and like the audience, like people start like having heart attacks and like nosebleeds and stuff just waiting for the beat to drop.
Yeah, that's basically Bag Raider.
Yeah,
haven't gotten into any of their other songs.
Yeah, I like even right now I feel short of breath because the beat
I do a little
that
bit
song has
well.
Not dropped.
Will you put us out of our misery?
Okay. Oh, jeez,
Dave, what's the next song? Come on, let's get us dancing to something else. Get that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know how I like to dance in a terribly awkward, spasmodic way.
I do.
You may remember our college years listening to, geez, what? How come I just forgot the song? Kickstart My Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Classic dance song, if there ever was one, Dave.
Oh, yeah. You throw that on, everyone in the room, their shirts are coming off, and you're dancing.
Yeah, a lot of testosterone.
It's a very similar here, except like super weird song, and it builds and builds until it drops. We may not get to the build, but it's awesome, guys. Trust me. Oh, it's Flash Delirium by MGMT.
Theory on this one?
I was going to say, I would actually consider this a very resistible dance song.
Oh, guys. No. No. No, no.
This is a very Dave Jensen dance song, though. That one, it hit all the weird. It was like, very arrhythmic. It's slightly, and you're not sure what they're singing about or if they even know what they're singing about. It was great. That was very Dave Jensen.
It keeps building, guys. It just keeps building. And the weirdness builds and builds. And I can honestly say I've never listened to that song without dancing or running at a high speed.
I love it. Okay. Alice, you have any thoughts? Ecstatic dance? Would you guys take that to your next circle and really get the body moving?
Yeah. You know, I'd like to debunk the idea that ecstatic dance means that you are happy.
Thank you. See, yeah. We have all these misconceptions.
Yeah, I know. That's why you have me on. Uh-huh. So, yeah, we would totally dance to this, and it would cause a lot of psychological damage. No, it would help us work through our resistance to a song like that, at least for me. Maybe it would be fun to dance to. I don't know. Maybe you need to, like, jerk around a little bit on the dance floor and, like, get some incongruous emotions out. I'm not sure.
Alice, that is, in fact, how most people describe Dave, the guy who's just jerking around on the dance floor.
So. You got to let go of what's holding you back, Alice. You can't really be an ecstatic dancer unless you can find the joy in dancing to that song.
Maybe.
Let Dave educate us all on ecstatic dance. Yeah, he's become a living expert. Yeah.
I don't know if I'll find joy, but I'll find an emotion.
so precise. That was, yeah. Okay. All right, I've got a selection. And okay. I'm going to regret it, but initially I had Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On, lined up. Everybody knows that's irresistibly dancey, but I'm going to try one on everybody. I don't know. I'm doing this because I need your feedback. This is a song that my wife dislikes pretty strongly, but I do like it. And it's by an English group called Disclosure, and the song's called When a Fire Starts to Burn.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a regular at the spring, she's going to bring that attitude home. Don't want to do nothing with your life. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. Don't want to do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. Don't want to do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. Don't want to do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to when a fire starts to when a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. You don't wanna do nothing with your life.
This may shock you. Is that from 1997 or
yeah,
when?
That was, yeah, no, but it, essentially. Yeah. It may surprise you, though, Dave, there's not a lot of lyrical diversity in that song. There's not a ton of variety, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, the title was surprising. The title apparently is When a Fire Starts to Burn. So I don't know where they came up with that exactly, but inventive.
And It Starts to Spread would have been too long.
Yeah, it's a little, you're right. You got to be able to put it on the CD liner notes or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can envision like a 15-year-old English kid that I kind of hate. That's his favorite song.
Yeah. So
who did they sample? Isn't that from a newscast of some sort?
I think it's like a kind of, I don't know. I don't know the story of the sample, but I believe it's like a preacher.
Does your wife have bullet points as to why she does not like that song?
It's Eric Thomas, episode 30, Rope-A-Dope, apparently. He's a hip-hop preacher. Hip-hop preacher, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The problem is, like, I'll play that, and then afterwards, it's an earworm, and I'll be like, when a fire starts, and she's like, stop. Just stop. I heard it. It was... So she doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't have any worries about playing the song. It's not like it's going to be... But I just had to get it out somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think my wife listens to you there.
Yeah, Missy. It was the safe choice. Well, Alice, we need a palate cleanser. We need somebody to give us something to really dance to here on the way
out. All right, well, I think I've got just the number for you.
Okay.
It's a hometown sweetheart, Tani Diakite and the Afro Funk Stars.
When you say hometown, from San Diego?
No, Madison, Wisconsin.
I did not know that.
Oh, yes, yes. Wow. Mm-hmm. Tani plays, I think it's like every second Wednesday at Mickey's Tavern.
Really?
On the east side of Madison. And if you go there, you will see in the winter that all the windows are foggy. Because when you open the door, you'll find a group of people dancing quite ecstatically.
All right.
Yep. So the name of the song is Nungu Lunba. That even got you jerking, huh, David?
Phrasing, Alice.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
This is a family-friendly radio show.
Oh, my word.
No, that was a case where the percussion was the big driver. Like the guitar was a nice accent, but that was a case of like just – great percussive. I don't know. That was terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you might be calling a guitar is an instrument called the ngoni.
And
you play it facing towards you. It looks like a guitar, but it's kind of like a gourd.
Oh, I mean, sure.
I am no Jonathan Overby, but I think if I remember correctly, it looks like a lute almost, but you play it facing towards you and you kind of like pluck it.
Okay. I feel both excited and embarrassed. Like, from Madison, playing at Mickey's all these years, I've never been. That would be something that would be very much an enjoyable experience. So thank you, Alice. I'm going to have to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And not only at Mickey's, he plays all over town.
Sure.
So the previous song, When a Fire Starts to Burn, is like burned in the back of my skull.
Yeah.
And it was still playing while that song played.
Oh, no.
If someone could do a mashup between those two, I would love it. I'll be honest.
That sounds like a good project for Girl Talk, right?
That would be actually right up Girl Talk's alley. Yeah. Is that guy still making music?
I don't know. I saw him a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
At a festival in northern Wisconsin.
Talk about somebody
probably the oldest person there.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about somebody who grad school ruined, right? Didn't he start doing that while trying to escape engineering or something like that in grad school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think he worked in like a bio lab or something, and then he did this thing on the side.
Yeah.
Well, email that guy. Get him to throw those two songs together. And send it to me.
Here's $10 from Dave Jensen if you put these two songs together. Well, Alice, dance. I don't know. I feel at the end of a string like that, I also feel both. I only was dancing waist up because I'm sitting in a sound booth at like midnight, but I feel happy. I feel positive stuff flowing through me. I don't know the biomedical terms. Is it endorphins? What flows through you when you dance?
Blood. It's blood.
Dopamine.
Blood. Dopamine. Blood. Yeah, it's blood. Dave's a nurse. You should tell us, Dave. What flows through you when you dance?
Well, I got something to keep your excitement up.
Okay.
Still, to keep you even happier.
Yeah.
Alice, you may or may not know, we have dozens of listeners, and they're constantly sending us questions. And so at the end of every episode, we answer one of their questions. And Steele, you always do the honors.
I have to sort through so many, Alice. It's hard. But this one's from Mario P. Again, Dave, we got another listener from your home state, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
We're Mario. Huge there.
Yeah, exactly. Mario P. Mario P says, if you were going clubbing, when we're going clubbing, you know, as fathers of large families, when clubbing and when you decide to paint your face like one of the guys from Kiss, who would you go with? The Star Child, i.e. Stanley, the Demon, Gene Simmons, Space Ace, Ace Frehley, or the Catman, Chris. I mean, which one really fits your personality? That's a good question.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Mario.
That's right to the heart of it. Thank you.
You can't have an irresistible dance episode without asking and answering a question about Kiss. I'm going to tell a quick Kiss story while everybody's thinking about this.
Yeah, please do.
While everyone's Googling Kiss.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I was like, Dave clearly knows a lot about the subject, so Dave's ready to go. But for you and me, Alice, while you Google this, let me kind of stall for a second. Picture this. The year is 2004. The place is Washington, D.C. I'm a young intern in the United States Senate, and there's always comped tickets to free entertainment events. And a senator from Utah gets 20 tickets to the hottest show in town. The opening band, Poison.
Yes.
The headliners, Kiss.
Wow.
Outdoor amphitheater. And surprisingly, the senator's staff couldn't find 20 full-time staffers that were interested in going to see Kiss with Poison. So they just passed them on to the interns who passed them on to – I wasn't working for a Utah senator, but I happen to know some people who were. So as a lowly intern, I managed to get a free complimentary ticket to see Poison open for Kiss. And we show up at the Wolf Trap Amphitheater, and Kiss announces – they are recording a DVD, a concert DVD
that night. Holy crap. Whoa.
And they're like, we need you to pull out the stops. We need to make this the greatest Kiss show of all time. They're like shooting off fireworks. The light show's going. Everybody's face paint was perfect. And it was the worst live music I've ever heard. It was so bad. It was like worse than County Fair sound quality. But they put on a show, and dozens of people loved it.
Oh man!
That's my only sad.
My closest brush with Kiss. We left after like three or four songs.
It's a long drive out to Wolf Trap as well.
It is the price you pay for genius, though, Alice.
How was Poison set? Something to believe in?
They did. And they played Something to Believe In, and it was one of the life-changing experiences because right before the song, front man's like, all right, everybody.
Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels, yeah. I always get it wrong, so thanks, Dave.
Come on.
Brett Michaels goes, he's wearing cowboy boots, a hat, and like a cut-off jean denim shirt, like so sleeveless denim shirt. And he goes, I'm going to dedicate this song to all those guys out there who are kicking ass for freedom. I'm talking about the troops. Literally nice. Said that sentence and then played yeah. Something to Believe In. And everybody was crying. It was like, it was the most American moment of my life.
Thank goodness. I'm glad they're finally doing stuff for the troops. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, it was a terrible concert, but the tickets were free. All right, so are we ready, Alice? Have you Googled the four of these clowns?
Yes, and you know, it's funny. I probably didn't even need to.
You sound so excited.
Because, yes, and... I mean, my intuition tells me Star Child is my face paint go-to.
Is there a reason that you're drawn to Star Child?
Sometimes I shorten my last name to Star and Astarita. That's like kind of the follows me around. And I think Star Child in the pictures on Google looks like a little shy.
Yeah, that the demon would not be, you'd not describe
with,
him as shy.
Well, right? with everyone else, you know, having his tongue out and things.
The modest one. The
yeah,
modest one.
Our child's just in the corner, like shining.
That's a very West Coast nickname too, the Star Child.
Star Child, yeah. Yeah. Just wait, you'll get one too. A nickname.
All right. Space Ace, so, clearly for me, Dave.
What? Really?
Yeah.
You're not the kitten?
Yeah, probably. I didn't look at the pictures, but Space Ace rhymes, so it's poetry. It's the only definition of poetry that counts for me. So.
Oh, man. See, the thing about the question is, are they including the costume as well? Because are you looking at costumes?
No one cares but you, Dave, so tell us your answer.
You guys are jerks.
True.
Well, you know, my initial thought was Space Ace, but looking at the kitten boy, I mean, it's just so adorable. He's just back there drumming and he's painted like a little kitten. That's great. He just seems very approachable. Dear. And he's got a wonderful vest. And you know how I feel about vests. Love them.
I made a mistake, Alice. I was going to not Google it, but once Dave started talking about it, I Googled it and I'm like,
Did you get pictures of people kissing?
Kind of. I didn't put kiss in. I put the cat man. And there are people selling Halloween costumes and wigs. And I'm not sure if I'm looking at the actual cat man or like a overweight middle-aged person dressed up as the cat man or if there's really even a difference. The hair makes me... I feel all around dirty. Like I need a shower after just Google image searching the cat man. It's really... It's not
the
good.
The telltale sign... No pun intended. The telltale sign is that the official pictures, there's a little bit of chest showing.
Ooh.
They have their chest, their shirts open.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just putting a little image in the chat. This is what I saw that made me feel real bad.
Oh, no.
What's going on there? How is that head four times the size of the expected size? And what's going on with that vest? That's clearly not the real cat man, is it?
That's a child.
Oh, that makes me feel so much worse.
I think it's a child in like a full mask with a wig attached.
Hey, this is the worst question we've ever been asked. Mario P., get psychiatric help. If you were to go clubbing, no, honestly, what would happen if you went clubbing with your face painted like a member of KISS and just showed up alone? I'm almost confident you would not be admitted to the club, and if you were, you would almost certainly have the police called on you before the evening's over.
Not if you're wearing the vest, man. The vest, the leather vest.
A little chest hair showing. Get the chest hair coming out the top.
I would draw some chest hair on, put the vest on.
The vest will save you.
Oh, dear. Mario P., what a question. You know, they say all good things must come to an end, guys. And that is true of the Irresistible Dance episode of Theme Songs as well.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your ecstatic love of dance, Alice. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Alice, thanks for being a good sport. Appreciate having you on.
And, yeah, love being here.
Talk to you soon.
talk to you soon. I'll send you guys an ecstatic dance mix. And you can just.
Oh man.
Oh yeah.
We'll put it up on the website even if you send. Yeah.
I'll send you my best one.
Thanks.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.